Okay, we will call this a Property Tax Division Committee to order. We do have quorum. We can conduct lawful business. I apologize. We ran a little long on the floor, so to all the bills and those who are going to present today, please understand that we're short on time. We're hoping that we don't have to come back tonight or Friday, but we'll see how things go. So first up is the minutes. Vice Chair Lee, have you had an opportunity? If so, do I have a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I've had an opportunity to review the minutes from March 1st, and I move to approve them.
Okay, it's been moved. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, first on the agenda today, we have House File 1871. I will move that House File 1871 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. Here we have Chair Olson to present the bill. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I really appreciate that you're hearing House File 1871 this morning. This legislation provides two modifications to the original Lot D tax increment financing legislation that was passed during the 2019 legislative session. House File 1871 would allow for multiple TIF districts to be established on the property, which the city believes would better match the anticipated phasing of the build-out and longer-term development of the entire Lot D property. It also extends the eligible term for the TIF districts up to 10 years. And Lot D represents the last parcel on the western boundary of the Duluth waterfront and serves as the boundary between the tourism, retail, and industrial property of the Duluth port. We are very excited by the immense potential for development at the site, with estimates in excess of $200 million in capital development across the site. And with that, I am joined by Adam Fulton, the Deputy Director for Planning and Economic Development for the City of Duluth, to provide additional testimony and to answer questions.
Welcome. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Lisgard. Members, my name is Adam Fulton. I'm the Deputy Director of Planning and Economic Development for the City of Duluth. Pleased to be here in support of this Bill 1871. What we're looking at here is Lot D. It's located immediately to the west of the Bayfront Park and the Deck Convention Center. And this site is a 12-acre parcel that is publicly owned by the Duluth Economic Development Authority. We are seeking its redevelopment, and we are seeking to maximize its redevelopment to capture the greatest potential benefit of this regional area immediately on the St. Louis River. This is a location that is essentially midpoint between the Canal Park Tourism District and the Lincoln Park Craft District in the City of Duluth. And so this location will serve as a hub and a connector between these two regional destinations. It has access to our Cross City Trail network, to the Baywalk and Lake Walk. And so what's exciting about this site is that it will have that opportunity to serve as a very public-private location where we will see benefits to the public. We'll provide greater levels of access to the water. And we hope really a significant amount of development. As Representative Olson has indicated, we anticipate over $200 million in investment. That's going to include housing. It's going to include industrial, and we hope tourism-focused industrial development that will be complementary to adjacent residential uses. But there is a need to phase it. And so because of the phasing and the level of sort of scrutiny under the market absorption, it will require additional time, and it will require multiple TIF districts to be successful. And so we are looking for your support on this one, and I'm happy to take any questions.
All right. Anyone else want to testify for or against this bill? Seeing none, member questions? No member questions. Closing comments.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members, for consideration of House File 1871.
The chair renews his motion that House File 1871 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. House File 1871 is now laid over. Next up on the agenda is 2412. Chair moves that House File 2412 be laid over for possible inclusion into the tax Property Tax Division report. There is an amendment. Would you like me to offer the amendment to get the bill in the form you like, or?
Yes, please, Mr. Chair.
Okay. The chair moves that the A1 amendment be adopted. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. To your bill as amended,
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for hearing House File 2412. The City of Duluth appreciates the opportunity to bring this bill forward today and believes it will help encourage redevelopment of properties within the Regional Exchange District that was established in 2018. House File 2412 accomplishes two goals. First, it increases the existing Regional Exchange District boundary by 6 square blocks to the west of the current boundary along First Street. This boundary change would incorporate some of the most economically distressed census tracts in Duluth and help spur private investment. The two large hospital systems in Duluth, Essentia and St. Luke's, are nearing the completion of their significant capital reinvestments, and we believe this legislation will help encourage additional private investment in the community immediately surrounding the hospitals. The second thing this bill does is it modifies the tax increment financing language requirements to more closely align with the language included in the Destination Medical Center legislation in Rochester. This will provide the opportunity for broader development and use of TIF tools to foster the redevelopment of Duluth's central downtown core as contained within the proposed boundary. And I once again have Adam Fulton here today, and you'll sense a pattern, the Deputy Director of Planning and Economic Development for the City of Duluth, to speak to the bill.
Welcome. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Lisgard. Members, my name is Adam Fulton. I'm Deputy Director of Planning and Economic Development, City of Duluth. Pleased to be here today to speak on behalf of the City of Duluth in favor of House File 2412. The proposed broadening of the TIF language for this area of Duluth is going to allow for reinvestment by all property owners. It's going to allow for repurposing of properties that are very much ripe for reinvestment, and it's going to improve both the jobs climate and the availability of housing in the City of Duluth. It's going to utilize properties that have been previously essentially utilized for surface parking, where demolition may have happened many years ago. And so it will allow for inclusion of those parcels in TIF districts where they might not otherwise be available to be in a TIF district, and those districts could either be a redevelopment district or a housing district. We expect the language will benefit all property owners within the proposed redefined boundary. It is not targeted towards any one specific property owner or any one specific developer. So a little different than many projects that come forward. It is expanding by 6 blocks. This is an area of our downtown where there is a significant need for reinvestment. It will support that reinvestment through improved use of infrastructure, both subsurface and surface, and our parking ramps as well in this area. It's going to encourage properties to be back on the tax rolls. Many of these right now are not on the tax rolls, and so this will provide for that, and long-term will provide a benefit to the state and the region, and certainly support our regional medical efforts that we have conducted in the City of Duluth that supports the Northeast region of the state. As I said, it's 6 additional square blocks in this area, an expansion. It is immediately to the west of the Essentia development. And what we're hoping for is additional hotels to serve hospital patients, housing that's going to include workforce and senior housing, as well as affordable housing, restaurants, coffee shops, pharmacies, and many other types of potential uses in a downtown. Thank you. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience want to testify for or against? Seeing none, members' questions. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the author said the word Rochester in it, which reminds me when the DMC and the other thing went on, one of the side effects was the redevelopment caused a steep increase of property taxes so that some existing and long-term, I think one of the businesses was like 4 generations. Their business didn't have the cash flow to handle the huge property tax increase, and so they ended up having to stop. I had drafted a bill trying to find a way of where the city could say, in order to maintain in this area, the mix and diversity of businesses, you want to be able to have a place where they can stop to grab something to eat, and maybe a daycare, etc., that there could be some mechanism or function, and haven't found a great medium. But, I'm concerned that with the TIF and all the other stuff going on, it might negatively impact existing small businesses. And is there any comment from the author or the testifier?
Thank you, Chair Lizelgard. What I'd like to say about that is that we are expanding our downtown-focused efforts for existing businesses. And what I think is specifically targeted towards the situation you described is that we are seeking to engage those businesses now, and we are working towards business retention and expansion efforts and trying to target programs that will support our existing business owners, because we do not want to see dislocation of existing users. This bill is targeted, and the TIF districts will be targeted towards reinvestment on blighted sites only. And we recognize certainly that it is a constantly changing property tax environment, but we are attuned to that and seeking to engage property owners now.
Any follow-up, Representative Kwan?
Just, Mr. Chair, I selected this one to comment on. Any TIF might have the issue, mm-hmm. and so I'd like all the authors and people involved to think about that as we hear them, and now I don't have to ask it repeatedly. Thank you.
That's wonderful news. Thank you. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good line there. So just to help me understand this, usually a TIF district I've been, you know, involved with, it's for one major business expanding infrastructure, things like that. So when you're expanding this for an additional six blocks, will each parcel have its property tax frozen, or when they start redeveloping, is that the point where additional tax would not be assessed? How would it work in a larger area such as this?
Mr. Fulton.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Lizelgard. Members, the intent here is for multiple TIF districts. And so what we find is that many parcels that are, you know, for example, a surface parking lot where demolition might have happened 10, 20, or even 30 years ago, it is not eligible for a redevelopment TIF district because there is not a blighted structure on it. And so what we would anticipate is on an individual basis, you know, when we have a development come forward, parcels within this six block area would be eligible to establish a TIF district. At that time, those taxes would be frozen and the increment would be captured to provide for whatever eligible costs are under that TIF district to proceed. But, you know, our goal very much here is to expand the tax base in the community. One of the things I think that we recognize in Duluth is that we have some significant blight in this area of our downtown. And so this bill will provide for the TIF authority to address that blight that we currently do not have the capability to address locally. And so once we do that, I would anticipate there will be other investment outside TIF districts, maybe within this six block area, but certainly also without, you know, in the surrounding areas. So, you know, I think it is going to be something that happens over a period of many years. And as we sort of consider this, we will be looking at each project individually to determine eligibility and consistency with adopted community goals.
Representative Anderson. Okay. Representative Hewitt.
Real quickly, Mr. Chair, thank you, Representative Olson, for this bill. This is great. One of the things in my past life, I used to bring a lot of patients into Duluth and with no place for their families to stay, and I got to know the people at Essentia and St. Luke's real well, and it's great that I see that you're building hopefully more hotels there for families. Also, workforce housing, which is affordable workforce housing, too. So I'm excited about this. This is a great thing for a city I love, and I'm looking forward to seeing it grow. So thank you for doing this.
Any further discussion from members? Seeing none, closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for considering 2412.
Okay. Chair renews his motion that House File 2412, as amended, be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. House File 2412, as amended, is adopted into the report.
Laid over.
Okay, that's why I have him here, to make sure I don't say nothing I shouldn't. All right, to complete the hat trick, House File 2382, the chair moves that House File 2382 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. There is no amendment, so please proceed with your bill.
Thank you, Chair Lizelgard and members. I appreciate that you're hearing House File 2382 today, which is not a TIF bill for a change from the first two. House File 2382 would extend the City of Duluth's existing tourism sales tax and allow the proceeds to be utilized for capital improvements to park-based public athletic facilities across Duluth. These athletic facilities support a robust sports tourism industry in northeastern Minnesota, and are in desperate need of reinvestment. So once again, I have Adam Fulton here to share a little bit more of, about the project and answer questions.
Please state your name for the record once again. And
thank you, Chair Liz Lagarde and members. My name is Adam Fulton. I'm the Deputy Director of Planning and Economic Development, and here today representing both my department, Planning and Economic Development, as well as our Property, Parks, and Libraries folks in support of this bill. What this bill does is supports the City of Duluth Athletic Venue Reinvestment Initiative by renewing an existing 0.5% increment in local tourism taxes for up to 30 years to fund capital improvements to parks-based athletic venues that drive regional sports tourism within the City of Duluth in northeastern Minnesota. The city's athletic venues, which are rinks, links, courts, diamonds, and fields, are beloved Minnesota destinations that support regional tourism. They grow strong Minnesota kids and families and sustain historic Minnesota traditions. Duluth's youth hockey facilities alone contribute approximately $6 million per year to the regional economy, attract more than 13,000 spectators, and support the healthy development of hundreds of youth athletes from across the state. Duluth's amateur athletic facilities include historic gems such as the Wheeler Baseball and Softball Complex, constructed in 1926, Longview Tennis Club, constructed in 1917, Wade Stadium, built in 1941, and the Enger Golf Course, built in 1927. Age and the Duluth weather have contributed to severe deterioration of these critical athletic facilities. Foremost among them is Duluth's Freiberger Hockey Arena, which is 50 years old and is at imminent risk of failure. The City of Duluth Athletic Venue Reinvestment Initiative will give new life to this and other destination athletic facilities in Duluth and grow regional sports tourism in northeastern Minnesota, supporting lowering the barriers to athletic participation and enrich quality of life for all. So we are looking for your support on this. We would be seeking to extend the tax for a period of 30 years, and we would expect to pay no more than $36 million on bonds and debt service. This is based on a years-long community process, not something that it was just dreamed up, and it is following that master planning process by the City of Duluth Parks and Recreation Division to support this, unanimously supported by our Parks Commission and our City Council. The capital construction here is going to be selected and designed to support regional sports tourism, lower barriers to participation in athletics, equitably and inclusively improve quality of life issues, and address the deferred maintenance issues that we face within our park system. We also expect that this bill is going to trigger significant federal and private contributions to the projects. And so these state dollars will be utilized effectively and will be matched from outside the area. We're happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Is there anyone in the audience to testify for or against? Seeing none, member questions? Seeing none, closing comments.
Thank you, Chair Liz Lagarde and members, for hearing 2382 and for consideration of these three bills today. Greatly appreciate the time and putting us condensed into the agenda like this. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Chair Olson. You did a wonderful job, you and your presenters. So the chair renews his motion that House File 2382 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. House File 2382 is laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. All right. Wow. Next up, boy, we've been waiting all day for this one. House File 97-8. Welcome, Chair Davids, to the real committee. All right. So the chair moves that House File 978 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report, and I'm sure that's going to come back on me at some point. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members, and thank you, Mr. Chair, for not saying impossible inclusion. That happens to me sometimes. But it was interesting with Duluth. Everybody loves Duluth. And I was thinking of the NFL team, the Duluth Eskimos, and I was thinking, did they play at Wade Stadium? And I had to think about that. They actually played at Athletic Field. So they may need to get an NFL stadium up there soon here. So House File 78 is a bill that the legislature has seen before, been included in an omnibus tax bill in the body that we cannot talk about. I have with me today Chris Giesen from the Economic Development Authority of Chatfield, Minnesota, and their clerk administrator, Joel Young, that can certainly answer any questions. What this bill does is it allows cities of under 5,000 people to be able in their TIF districts to have a bigger square footage footprint than they're allowed now. Now you can do 15,000 square feet. This would say 15,000 square feet per floor. Chatfield's a very dynamic city. They are very aggressive in economic development. They do a great job. And I'm going to turn it over at this point to Mr. Chris Giesen with the Economic Development Authority, Mr. Chairman.
Please state your name for the record and proceed.
My name is Chris Giesen. I'm with the City of Chatfield's Economic Development Authority. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Like Representative Davids mentioned, Chatfield is growing, and we're working at increasing on our tourism and commercial industries. Tax increment financing is probably one of the best tools for small rural cities like Chatfield, as well as others across the state. Under the economic development scheme, you know, that's going to look different to different cities. And in Chatfield, tourism and commercial activity is something that's important. We're in the process of working with attracting a hotel and building a hotel in our community, which there currently isn't any facilities like that. This bill would optimize the use of TIF for rural cities like Chatfield and keep the spirit of the existing law. Currently, the small cities exception limits 15,000 square feet for the entire building. We would be looking at making a modification to that law with this bill, which would allow that 15,000 square foot limit to be placed just on the footprint of the building. So it would keep that spirit of not supporting, you know, large big boxes or you know, kind of proliferation of unchecked development, but for a small community like Chatfield, it would concentrate that and keep it moving forward. So supporting like projects like this in Chatfield is going to be something that we're excited to do, and we appreciate your support and consideration.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. And you'll notice the author of the bill, I'm on here with all my friends, you'll notice. So with that being said, we would stand for questions from the committee.
Member discussion? Representative Hewitt.
Yes. Chatfield, Minnesota, Mr. Chair, Chatfield, is that also the home of Tui Pew Company, if I'm not mistaken?
Correct. Yeah, Tui Furniture Company, yep.
Speaking of footprints, I have a footprint there then, so.
Sorry, inside joke.
Obviously. Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question. What does the City of Chatfield have a limit on the number of floors in the building by city ordinance? I know that some communities will limit it to 3 floors because of sprinklering and some of those kinds of things and fire access and the like. And so I'm just wondering how that might play into your consideration and the ask and the request today.
Mr. Young.
Thank you. The zoning code limits, I think, a building height to about, I think it's 35 feet in this particular zone. Clearly, there's variances for special occasions, but yes, we do have limits.
Will you state your name for the record, please?
Thank you. Joel Young, City Administrator. Chatham.
Thank you so much. Representative O'Driscoll?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's all.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion, members? If not, closing comments.
No, this would be a useful tool, and it's not only for the City of Chatfield, but this. We had a bill just for Chatfield. This would be statewide to help cities of under 5,000 people. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you. Chair renews his motion that House File 978 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. House File 978 is laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman and members.
Thank you. Okay, next up we have House File 263. Welcome. The chair moves that House File 263 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. There is no amendments. So, Representative Tapke, to your bill.
Tax chair could.
The tax chair, yes, you can do pretty much what you want.
Yes, exactly. Thanks, Mr. Chair, members. Today we have a TIF bill for the city of Shakopee. This is to reclaim a completed mining operation. So this reclamation of the mining operation, which would create a TIF district in Shakopee that would create a significant amount of property tax base for the city and for the state. And I have with me Mr. Michael Kursky from the city of Shakopee.
Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Chair, it's Michael Kursky. I'm the Director of Planning and Development for the City of Shakopee. This site is approximately 140 acres. The city's been working for approximately 3 years on a master plan for the site and have some developers interested. It would be a $300 million in private investment, including retail, single-family homes, multifamily. Just the remediation alone on the site is over $10 million, so the TIF is essential, necessary to get this back. This is very similar to Bill's. We model this off ones that have been done for Maple Grove and for Apple Valley.
Okay. Anyone from the audience would like to testify for or against? Seeing none, member discussion? No discussion. Two-year bill, closing comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just appreciate your support, and this is a really good bill for the city and the state.
All right. Thank you so much. Chair renews his motion that 263 be laid over for possible inclusion in the property tax division report. House file 263 is laid over for possible inclusion into the tax property tax. What now? All right. We're going to a different one now. Okay. I'm going there. Okay, next up we have House File 1049. Welcome, Representative Brand. Chair moves that House File 1049 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. There is no testifiers, so welcome, Mr. Brand, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I have a very, very small adjustment to current statutes, and so essentially what House File 1049 does is it changes the definition of a small city. It would be defined as a city with a population of 5,000 or less, which is currently statute, and located 5 miles away from a or more away from a home rule charter or statutory city with a population of 10,000 or more. So that's the only key difference, is we're moving 10 miles down to 5 miles. Included in your packets, you should see a map that shows all of the cities that would now be able to take advantage of this change. Also included in your packet should be a list of cities that currently have it and all of the new cities that would be included, many of which are in your districts, just like they're in my districts as well. Also a letter of support from the city of Nicollet, who is working on a sewer project right now.
Oh, yes.
And also the city of Howard Lake, who's got a few different projects cooking at once. Unfortunately, they didn't meet a deadline that we had for testimony, but the city of Lafayette also is working on a water project in my district. And so Nicollet and Lafayette are in my district. Howard Lake actually happens to be where I went to school for all of my 12 years. And so I wanted to make sure that they get on the record as well. So without further ado, I'll turn it over to any testifiers, and I'll be happy to answer any questions as well.
Okay, welcome. State your name for the record, and please proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Daniel Leip with the League of Minnesota Cities. Short bill, so also short testimony. Just want to appreciate Representative Brand's support of this bill. It is a simple change, as you see in the bill, but will create a big impact for a good portion of our small cities. I think about 114 cities under the population of 5,000 that are within the 10-mile radius would now be available and would have the ability to use economic development TIF for qualified commercial developments. With me is the city administrator in Spicer, who wanted to just provide some very brief comments. He was instrumental in helping us write this policy for the league, and it would definitely benefit the city of Spicer.
Yep, you bet.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jacob Kohlander. I serve as the city administrator and EDA director for the city of Spicer. Just for some reference, the city of Spicer is 1,100 people, located about 11 miles from the city of Willmar with a population of 21,000. Spicer is a community that has some local economic growth in the past years. However, we often look for tools and resources at the local level to attract new commercial development to our city to support local economic growth. However, we have been unable to do so using economic development TIF for commercial developments due to the limitation in statute that limits small city usage of this tool if they are within 10-mile radius of a city with a population of 10,000 or more. As Representative Brand noted, House Floor 1049 changes the distance threshold to TIF statute to allow small cities with a population of 5,000 or less that are within 5 miles of a city of a population with 10,000 or more to use economic development TIF for commercial development. Sicer would be one of 114 small cities in the state of Minnesota included in that list that would now be eligible to utilize this important tool to attract and support commercial development within our city. I want to thank Representative Brand for his leadership on this issue, as well as our Representative Dave Baker for his co-authorship of this bipartisan bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to testify for or against? Seeing none, member discussion? Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want confirmation that this definition of small city only impacts TIF, and there aren't any other areas that would in statute that might reference this?
Correct.
I think we'll, do you want to go to?
I would just say that the specific section of our statutes are included in this bill, but I'll refer to House or to research, nonpartisan research for
Mr.
more.
Mr. Cope.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Quam. To my knowledge, the only area in which this definition is applicable is economic development districts, which is a specific type of TIF district, and it's not referenced elsewhere in Minnesota law.
Any further discussion, Representative Baum? Okay. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the gentleman from Spicer, know where it is? It's a pretty town down there. And did you say that you're 11 miles from Wilmer?
Yes.
So this would not directly impact your city?
Colander. Mr. Colander?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Changing this bill would allow us to use commercial TIF for economic growth. Right now, the way it is written, we cannot.
Representative Anderson.
Well, not to belabor a point, but if the old limit was 10 miles and you're 11 miles, wouldn't you be eligible then?
No.
Mr. Lightfoot?
Mr. Chair, Representative, thank you. What Mr. Colander references is the some of the driving distance. It's actually the measurement from the border of the city to the border of the city above 10,000 in population. And when you do that measurement between the city of Spicer and Wilmer, it is less than 10 miles.
Mr. Anderson.
Just to clarify.
Okay. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess I'd be remiss that with redistricting, I picked up the city of Osseo, which is, I believe last year, 3,700 population, so it's well under the 5,000, but it's surrounded on both sides by one side Maple Grove and the other side Brooklyn Park, which are very large cities, and they're constantly looking for ways to finance anything that they have to do because they have this, and this bill will not help them the way I read it. So I'd be remiss if I didn't bring that up.
Well, this bill will be laid over for possible inclusion, so any further discussion? Seeing none, closing comments, Representative Brand.
It's a good bill. I hope you can consider this in your final omnibus bill. Thank you very much, members of the committee, Mr. Chair. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You. The chair renews his motion that House File 1049 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division Report. House File 1049 is laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division Report. Okay. Let's go back up. Welcome to the committee. The chair moves that House File 335 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division Report. There is a A1 amendment. Would you like me to move the amendment to get the bill in the order?
Yes, please, Chair.
Okay. Chair moves that the A1 amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment is adopted. To your bill as adopted.
Thank you, Chair. This is a second run at a bill that was heard last year and supported, so thanks again for having me here again today. This year's bill is House 335, and it seeks to extend a previously approved TIF request so that a project in my community can be finished. This is a 296-acre gravel pit located in Savage. The special legislation permitted the creation of a soil correction TIF district. Approximately 100 acres have been reclaimed to date, and the reclaimed land includes a new elementary school serving the Prior Lake Savage area schools and over 140 new single-family homes that have been welcomed into our community. There is no change to the pooling or the goals of the project itself, and this was supported by our local community, the City of Savage, who hopes to build an 8-acre park for the community and open our community up for more than 250 more single-family homes so more young families can join our community. And with me today is our esteemed city manager, Brad, as well as project experts who can share more information and details about the project.
Welcome to committee. State your name for the record, and please proceed with your testimony.
Brad Larson, City Administrator for the City of Savage. I want to thank Chair and Representative Hansen for carrying this bill. I just want to testify in support of this bill. The City of Savage supports this TIF extension. As Representative Hansen pointed out, this project is already underway. It's about halfway complete. There's been a couple unfortunate headwinds with this project. At the beginning of the project, the project lead, the visionary, passed away unexpectedly at the first part of this project. And then there was a miscommunication on the TIF certification dates with the county. Apart from that, everything is moving along as planned. As Representative Hansen pointed out, we're not asking to expand the budget. It's really just extending the timelines to get this project complete. The school district does support this TIF amendment because they obviously put a elementary school there. We're looking forward to this project being completed because this is really the last tract of large development land in the City of Savage. Everything else is built out. This is the last location we'll see a large tract of single family homes. And then this is also we're anticipating where it will be the last park built in the City of Savage, a needed park that will serve not only this neighborhood but the greater Savage as a whole, and probably also residents in Prior Lake. So we're supporters of this, and thank you for hearing it.
Thank you. Anyone in the audience that would like to testify for or against? Seeing none. Member discussion? No. Closing comments.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, committee members. I really appreciate your time and for fitting me in today. It means a lot to me. Thank you.
All right. Chair renews his motion that House File 335, as amended, be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. House File 335, as amended, is laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. And next. Okay, this is the last one. Holy, save the best for last. Look at this guy running up there. Could you squeeze one more? Welcome, Representative Coulter. Would you like to move your bill?
I would love to move my bill.
Okay, Representative Coulter moves House File 1768. Be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. To your bill, Representative Coulter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members. And I think we're all grateful that we're not going to likely have to come back tonight, so I will keep things quick. So House File 1768 deals with a TIF district surrounding the Bloomington Central Station in our South Loop area in the City of Bloomington, just to the east of the Mall of America. And I feel like I should point out that while it is near the Mall of America, it does not include the Mall of America. The South Loop is an area of Bloomington that has really been sort of the epicenter of development and redevelopment and is the most rapidly growing area in our city. The work that the City of Bloomington has done to invigorate the South Loop has been incredible, and when combined with our opportunity housing ordinance, has actually helped to make Bloomington one of the few cities in the Twin Cities area to actually surpass the Met Council's affordable housing ordinance. The Bloomington Central Station District includes almost 1,500 residential units with over 300 in the works, with more than 40% of them being affordable. And crucially, this development has also brought in a grocery store into a literal food desert, something that I worked on when I was a Bloomington Housing Redevelopment Authority Commissioner 8 years ago. Like a lot of development projects, BCS has hit some challenges and things are just taking a little bit longer. But I'm carrying this bill because I know that it is just too important to this area and my district to let the momentum stall out completely. You will have all the information in front of you as far as the sort of the specifics of the bill, so I won't go into that. And with that, I think I'll just turn it over to my testifiers. We have Jason Schmidt, excuse me, with the City of Bloomington Port Authority, and Mark Fable with McGough.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jason Schmidt, Assistant Port Authority Administrator, representing the City of Bloomington and the Bloomington Port Authority. The main goal for the city's interest in Bloomington Central Station is to continue building a dense, walkable, mixed-use urban neighborhood that integrates both affordable and workforce housing and commercial development in areas that have existing infrastructure and adjacency to transit. We're asking for additional flexibility and more time to utilize the existing Bloomington Central Station TIF district to help fulfill the vision of the city's South Loop district plan. Rise of construction costs and interest rates continue to impact developers' ability to finance dense development projects without public assistance. Other markets outside of Bloomington benefit from 20 to 30% higher rents in per square foot in residential projects. And these higher rents help negate the need for TIF and public assistance. But that is not the market rent in Bloomington. I'm here to say that the city supports House File 1768 for the two Bloomington Central Station requests, an extension to the five-year rule, and a partial 10-year TIF district maturity extension on the remaining parcels with no buildings. I would be happy to answer any questions from the city's perspective, either now or after other testimony. Thank you.
Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Mark Fable, Executive Vice President for McGough Development. I've been the developer out at Bloomington Central Station for the last 20 years. Both Representative Coulter and Mr. Schmidt did a great job of describing the project. I won't repeat that. Maybe I'll just focus quickly on the two asks that we have made and encourage others to visit our site in the future if they have time. The five-year rule is a law that works really well for one or two or three phases on projects. When we have 11 phases and effectively building out a downtown environment, when the office market isn't very strong, when you're building mostly the same product type, it takes a long time to execute 11 different phases on a project. So we have extended the five-year rule a couple times to allow us to continue to successfully develop this downtown environment. And on the map that is in this color brochure, if you have it, on the right-hand side, upper right-hand corner, you'll note the existing, then the second ask is for the 10-year TIF district extension for a small portion of the project. So on the upper left-hand corner of that page, you'll see the yellow highlighted aerial photo. That is a very large area within the South Loop District, east of the Mall of America. What we would be asking for an extension for specifically is really just the green area in the upper right-hand corner. So really what is left as vacant land, we want to continue the project, we want to finish the project. We've generated a lot of strong momentum for the overall community to start to grow by itself. And lastly, the importance of that extension is that we now have incorporated a coffee shop cafe. As Representative Coulter mentioned, we have a grocery store, we have a restaurant. The other projects that are outside of our development as well as our development, we need that continued density for those coffee shops and grocery stores and service amenities to serve that community and neighborhood. It's really a new neighborhood into the future. So thank you for your consideration. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to testify for or against this bill? Seeing none, member discussion. Representative Kwan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And before I start with my series of questions, we do have this room for the evening. Is that correct?
Why, yes, we do.
Why, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sort of familiar with this because my first apartment and my I work for Control Data in the semiconductor
Absolutely.
Facility, and then so I'm familiar with this, and it's nice to see the development. And one question I have with this change, are you anticipating any major shifts and additions for traffic and flow? Because I know it's already a congested area.
Mr. Schmidt?
Yeah, Mr. Chair. The original master plan that was entitled back in 2004, 5, and 6 had a very comprehensive traffic study analysis for a much more greater dense project. And at that time, the traffic analysis and projections were successful in performance. As we've developed out the site, we've actually developed it with less density and a far less office space than we originally projected, which brings in a lot more cars both times of day. So whatever we end up ultimately building for those final four projects will be less traffic than contemplated in the original traffic study.
Representative Kwan?
Well, thank you for that reassurance, and I guess I don't need to ask the other 47 questions.
Oh, we're so happy. Anyone else? Representative O'Driscoll.
And again, I probably won't keep us in the evening meetings like potentially Representative Quam did, but I do have some questions. I'm very familiar with this area of Bloomington. And maybe the bill author could come back. So I want to ask him some questions with his experience in the city of Bloomington with this project. And certainly he's entitled to ask some phone friends if he'd like to on this. Representative Coulter, this area, if you come from St. Paul and you travel down, kind of West 7th and it turns into the 494 corridor and you come off on 394, there's a diverging diamond that's there with traffic control. And so the airport would be to your right as you come down in that area. And having been through there in different weather situations, I know that the traffic is impeded in there, and it's also having at various different times the rail schedule coming through there. When the city of Bloomington was contemplating this, two questions. Was there an ESI done on this area? Because I know there was one on the mall. We're increasing the density and we're increasing the amount of traffic in that area. And then number two, will this continue to create traffic issues and snow removal issues right in that area, and specifically by where the Indigo facility is at? I know that narrows down in there and there's bus traffic in there, and I've seen many near misses with traffic trying to come through that area. So I'm wondering if the increase in density in there, how that's been addressed, or what kind of plans you might have been working on back in the time that your involvement in the economic development in the city of Bloomington.
Representative Coulter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can attempt to answer that, but I think I probably will need to tap in Mr. Schmidt here and driving in that area almost literally every single day when I come up here, I can certainly appreciate that. I think you put the traffic impacts politely, let's put it that way. I am not aware of any sort of environmental impact statement with regards to this specific development. I am sure with the work that has been done in the South Loop, and I should state as well that predates even my time when I was on Bloomington HRA. I mean, as has been mentioned, this development has been in the work for close to 20 years, and sadly they did not allow high school juniors and seniors to serve on the Bloomington HRA, so I was not able to participate in that time, but I'm not aware of any sort of impact studies like that, and I think Mr. Schmidt can probably elaborate.
Mr. Schmidt.
Mr. Chair and committee members, within that area, within South Loop, we have done an AUAR instead of doing individual EISs, and the latest AUR was updated in 2022. And every 5 years, we do go back and review all of those additional studies, looking at transportation, the utilities, et cetera. And within that document, it is outlining our vision for the compact dense development we are projecting here within this area.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then as you travel down past where the Indigo complex is, and you round where the train comes across, and then it straightens out again, and you have the health partners and the other commercial and business in that area. Does this TIF include the property that would be then, as you're heading toward the mall, on the left side? I think there's an organic, I want to say, like...
The farm.
Yeah, and it's, I think they have lambs or llamas or lions and tigers and bears. I don't remember for sure what's there, but I know that there is a farm that's kind of down below the cliff there, and I'm just kind of wondering if that area is also included in this particular TIF district.
Representative Coulter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for highlighting the many diverse businesses and land uses that exist within my district, Representative O'Driscoll. You're referring to what's colloquially referred to as the Kelly Farm. It is the last operating farm in the city of Bloomington. It is not in this district now.
Okay. And again, Representative Coulter, I know a lot about a lot of districts in the area, and I'm very, very, very familiar with that part of Bloomington over the years. So thank you.
Anyone else? Further discussion? Hearing none, closing comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members, for the discussion. I'm grateful to see that there's so much interest in development in my district. That really means a lot to me. I guess sort of in closing, we've heard a lot of TIF bills today, and I think this one is a unique sort of ask in the nature of the development and the work that we've already done there. I agree and actually am committed to doing some work on how we handle TIF in Minnesota. I think there are ways that it can be improved to sort of get at the original intent while simultaneously addressing some of the concerns that I think have been raised in terms of property tax shifts and so on. So really just want to thank members again, and really want to strongly encourage that this be included in the division budget. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Representative Coulter, for bringing you and your testifiers and telling that story. So Representative Coulter renews his motion that House File 1768 be laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. House File 1768 is laid over for possible inclusion in the Property Tax Division report. I want to thank this committee and all the testifiers for moving so quickly and timely. It's really incredible. Oh, you're going to wreck it?
Mr. Chair, I just received something from Pat here saying that tonight's canceled. Is that true?
It will be now. All right. Thank you guys so much. We are adjourned.